Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, August 17th. Student population rises to nearly 28,000. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard reported Tuesday that the district's enrollment has climbed to 27,946. The total is an increase of nearly 2,500 since the first day of school, 25,595, and is closing in on the district's projection, 28,356. Howard added that pre-K at Midland College has not opened, so district leaders expect that number to climb. The enrollment report was part of the superintendent's update during the regular meeting of the Board of Trustees. Howard said 1,089 students are new to MISD. Midland ISD reported enrollments of 26,427 students in 2021 and 27,821 in 2022-23. Staffing update. Midland ISD reported during the staffing update that 96% of the district's teaching positions are filled. Howard reported that 76% are fully certified. Howard added that 15% are District of Innovation teachers, as they have or are seeking alternative certifications, something she said is more common in recent years. Quote, during the 2021-22 school year, 69% of new teachers hired across Texas were alternative certified or pursuing it, Howard said. It has become more common, end quote. Howard said Midland ISD is using the following alternatives to putting substitute teachers in classrooms. Those options include closing sections and decreasing class sizes, as a higher quality teacher in a class is more important than class size. Enhancements like teachers signing on for additional class periods instead of taking a conference period for additional compensation. Instructional facilitators, the hiring of paraprofessionals, and the Opportunity Culture Program. Water development critical to building Permian Basin. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. 21 companies across the energy spectrum have come together to invest in the healthcare, education, housing, workforce training, and road safety needs of the Permian Basin, forming the Permian Strategic Partnership. Wednesday, Tracy Bentley, Chief Executive Officer of the partnership, offered her support of the industry. Quote, we can't build communities around the abundant resources we have without responsible water development, she told the audience at the Produced Water Society's Permian Basin Summit. Without water, we will struggle to develop those resources, end quote. Opening the second and final day of the conference, Bentley said the conversations attendees and speakers are having will hopefully generate solutions. If there's anywhere in the world that can develop solutions to water development, it's the Permian Basin, she said. Challenges lie not just in developing water resources needed by residents and the energy that will be needed by the world, 50% more by 2050, of which she said 40% will come from the Permian Basin, but developing communities that will attract the workforce needed to meet those needs. Bentley said that by 2030, the Permian Basin will need 60,000 more workers, with that number rising to 100,000 by 2040. Needs are wide-ranging, from healthcare specialists to HVAC technicians, truck drivers to engineers, electricians, mechanics, chief executive officers, public relations, data analysts, information technology professionals, and more, she said. The key lies in advancing education and healthcare in the region. Quote, one challenge is access to healthcare and healthcare professionals, Bentley told the gathering. There is one doctor for over 3,500 patients in the Permian Basin, over three times the recommended ratio. She said 45% of Permian Basin residents leave the area for specialized health care. Quote, PSP wants top-notch, world-class health care, so when people come here, they come here for the world-class health care. It's not just health care access, but safety and keeping people out of doctor's offices, she said. Education is the most important factor in elevating communities, she said, because school children today will be the leaders of tomorrow. It's critical they get a good education and that teachers are given the tools they need. The Permian Basin is home to 92.3 billion barrels of recoverable oil and sends $3.2 billion to the state in the form of severance taxes and royalties to fund education across the state. So why, she asked, are Permian Basin schools performing so poorly? She called for more of those millions the region sends to state coffers be brought back to fund education improvements. Quote, together we can move mountains, Bentley said. We are living in a once-in-a-generation opportunity that has brought us together. If we miss this opportunity, it's because we chose not to step up to the plate. We deserve it, our families deserve it, and the world is relying on us, end quote. Longest-running comic book store in West Texas to close. The Hive Comics in Odessa closing its stores on August 27th. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Just like every industry, comic books and trading cards see a rise and fall of customers. During the pandemic, the comic community across the country endured a large boom. Collectibles sold for four times their previous worth at shops held both online and in person, ultimately growing the impact and interest of the specialty to an unstoppable size. In 2016, Matt Bertrand opened the Hive Comics and Tabletop Games in Odessa. After 3 years of operation, Bertrand wanted to close, but James Laws wouldn't let that happen. A customer of the Hive himself, Laws saw the significance the comic store made on the Midland-Odessa community. In November 2019, the Monahans native-turned-Midlander bought the Hive from Bertrand. 4 good months of profit kept Laws and the Hive in business through stay-at-home orders in 2020. Due to industry growth and the positive response from the West Texas comic community, the Hive reaped 2 great sales years and grew a $32,000 inventory list to $450,000. Yet, when the price of gas, eggs, and other necessities began rising in November 2022, the comic bust began the descent. $30 action figures only sold for $12, comic books kept getting pushed out of monthly budgets, and collectibles lost their edge. Over the last 9 months, Laws maintained his community-focused, available-to-everyone mindset with fair or lower-than-market value prices, game nights, release parties, and more. However, the drastic industry decline is forcing the Hive to close. Quote, I've enjoyed every day that I've been here. I haven't woken up any day and said, I don't want to go to work. But the economy is busted, Laws explained. Currently known as the longest-running comic store in West Texas, the Hive gave the Permian Basin 7 years of unforgettable memories. Tournaments, live readings, unbreakable friendships, and one-of-a-kind game plays kept the Hive spirit alive. Quote, "We have a great community, and that's the hardest part of this. The community will be missing out on their comics and a place to play," Laws said. "People always throw the word nerd or geek into it, but deep down, everyone wants to find something fun, and this place really is for everyone. No matter what they're into, mystery stories, horror, romance, superhero, if they came in, they'll find something fun," end quote. Laws said the Hive will close by August 27th. On August 18th, the store will host its last event, a Disney Lorcana card game release party. Closing deals include a range of sales and markdowns. Patrons can visit the Hive from noon to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday and Saturday, noon to 10 p.m. Friday, and 1 to 6 p.m. Sunday. They are located at 3615 North Dixie Boulevard in Odessa. Medlander arrested in connection with child pornography case. This story was written by Mercedes Cordero. A 19-year-old Midland man was arrested Tuesday in connection with a child pornography case, according to court documents. In March, Homeland Security Investigations received information from Internet Crime Against Children and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children regarding materials defined in federal law as child pornography. The tip stated that child sexual abuse material was uploaded via a Discord account around December 2022. Investigators learned that 5 videos were uploaded to that account. HSI Midland agents obtained a search warrant for the Discord account and found the username was registered to an Oscar Natividad. The search warrant also found that the account had multiple login activities between December 14, 2022 and May 1, 2023, according to the arrest affidavit. Agents confirmed that the account belonged to Oscar Robert Natividad Jr. with state records. On August 15th, HSI agents executed a residential search warrant for electronics with the assistance of the Midland County Sheriff's Office. During the search of Natividad's phone, agents found that the Discord account had been deleted. When asked about the conversation sent by his account, Natividad claimed that he did not recall the conversations, but later stated he was under the influence while chatting, according to the arrest affidavit. Natividad was presented with selfie-style photos he uploaded to the platform and confirmed it was him. During the search of his phone, officials found a secure photo folder with multiple photos of naked female subjects, and pornography was also located, according to the arrest affidavit. Natividad eventually confessed to seeking, possessing, and uploading child pornography, according to the arrest affidavit. Natividad is being held in Midland County Jail for a possession with intention to promote child pornography, a second-degree felony, and possession of child pornography, a third-degree felony. Bond information was not available. Sip House beginning morning coffee brunch service. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Midland's swankiest downtown lounge will hold a 2-week pop-up offering coffee, tea, and fresh baked goods. Sip House, owned and operated by Lee Sanchez, will begin the 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. menu on August 29th, Monday through Friday. Menu items include lattes, espresso, fresh baked cookies, avocado toast, croissants, and other quick but delicious brunchy items. Quote, Doing coffee has been our plan since day one, but we just kept putting it off over and over. More recently, we've had a lot of demand from customers asking us to do coffee, Sanchez said. We finally decided to go ahead and do it, and what better time to begin than pumpkin spice season, end quote. With the closure of FC Coffee on August 4th, Sanchez and the rest of the Sip House team wanted to offer a sit-down brunch for the downtown community that focused on good food, relaxed vibes, and quick service. Sip House will offer free Wi-Fi and brighter lighting compared to their cocktail hours, ultimately turning the basement space into a true coffee shop experience. Quote, we've had a lot of fun with cocktails, and that will always be our main thing, but we really want to just dive into coffee and see how we do. We have some really good baristas who really know their stuff, so we're really excited to see what they can do, Sanchez stated. If the coffee pop-up does well and the demand for Midlanders turns into business, Sanchez said Sip House would be willing to make the morning hours permanent. Sip House is located at 303 West Wall Street in the basement of the Bank of America building. Here is an obituary that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, August 17th. Olivia Rodriguez Velarde, age 88, of Midland, passed away Saturday, August 12th. Visitation will be Sunday, August 20th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary at 6 p.m. Sunday evening at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Monday, August 21st, at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Rest Haven. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, August 17th. ECISD Officer of the Year, deserving of award. Starting his 40th year in law enforcement, Ector County ISD Police Officer Rick Henniger finds himself an overnight sensation of sorts. Henniger was named Police Officer of the Year for the district. He has been with ECISD for 12 years. He has served the Kermit Police Department, leaving as a sergeant, was Muleshoe Chief of Police, and then at the Odessa Police Department, where he was sergeant and worked in internal affairs before coming to the school district. I figured I could do more, Henniger said. When I was over at OPD, I was up for retirement, and I thought, well, I'd like to try something totally different. I thought coming to the district police department would be just that. So I applied back in 2011, and they hired me. I've been here ever since, Henniger said. I like working with the campuses. He is currently stationed at Nimitz Middle School, but also checks on Blanton and Burnett Elementary Schools, and conducts their weekly safety audits and monthly drills. Henniger said the campuses have done quite well on the audits. It's a lot to keep track of, but it's worth it to keep students and staff safe. There are 1,400 students at Nimitz Middle School, Henniger has worked at Bowie and Bonham Middle Schools. I also take care of Blanton and Burnett. When they call and they have something going on there, I come over and take care of those. I do their weekly audits, their monthly drills for the month, too. It's just a good thing. And you get to know different people that work for the district, Henniger said. Being named Officer of the Year was a surprise. I was proud that they would pick me like that When they called me up here and they were going to give the award, they called me up here for an internal affairs meeting. So I thought that's what it was for. And then all of the district came through this door right here. It was a big surprise, and it's an honor to be Officer of the Year for this department, Henniger said. Asked if the recognition makes him want to work harder, Henniger said if he worked any harder, he would be in trouble. I work my campuses, and I try to take care of my kids and staff as best as I can. I just do. I work hard at that, he added. He gets to know the students, good and bad, by name. All of them are mostly good. I like to know them on a first-name basis, if possible, Henniger said. He added that the students are usually more honest than adults. I worked with adults for years and years because of the police department, but the kids, most of them, say, hey, if I've done it, I done it. They're easier to talk with, and we're all right here on the one campus, so it makes it easier to talk to them. I run an open-door policy on my campus. If I'm in there and the door's open, they know they can walk right in, Henniger said. He told a sixth grader last week about Crime Stoppers. They can do Crime Stoppers with me, but I'm in my office, and they walk by, and I'm in there. They're more than welcome to come in. That's why I run that open-door policy, Henniger said. Seeing him on a regular basis, doing things like working on his computer or writing reports, it helps students realize police aren't that scary. They see me in there, and there's another chair right by my desk. I tell them that every year I'm in there and my door is open, come on in. It's helpful because you never know what kind of problems may arise, Henniger said. I think being visible where the majority of your students are is just the way to be. They know you're there, and I think they feel more comfortable when they see that, Henniger said. They ask a lot of questions when you're in the hall, and that's good. That's not a problem, especially when school starts. That's just what you're there for. It's worked out good for me for the last 12 years, he added. From his office, Henniger can check security cameras at Nimitz, but also at Blanton and Burnett to make sure they're working. He can also check any campus in the district. It has really made things easier, he added. My administration at Nimitz sure made that happen. We use our cameras. We get a lot of reports of different things during the school year. You can pull that up on the camera and say, well, this is what happened, so this didn't happen, Henniger said. He added that it's a shame schools have to have cameras. When he was in school, he never saw a police officer in the building. They have a district police radio and a police radio, so they know what's going on. Now, they're used to seeing an officer, and I think they want an officer here, Henniger said. The goal is to have two officers on every middle school campus, and someday they will reach that objective, he added. Henniger got his GED and his associate degree in criminal justice from Odessa College. Ever since he was about 14, he knew he wanted to be a police officer. He went to the Sweetwater Police Department and applied, but the guy at the desk told him to come back when he was 21. He graduated from the police academy in Pecos and was hired at Kermit in March 1983. That's all I ever wanted to do. I got an early start. I started when I was 22 in Kermit, Texas, Henniger said. Back then, they had 14 officers in Kermit, which he said was a lot. Was it busy? Yes, it was. That was the best training you could ever get because you deal with everything in a small town. It was good training, Henniger said. ECISD Police Chief Jeff Daniels said Henniger was chosen at ECISD Police Department Officer of the Year by his peers. I can't think of anyone more deserving for this award. Officer Henniger serves as a mentor and a leader within the department. Officer Henniger always has a smile on his face, and he's willing to help in any way he can. He is an officer with outstanding integrity and dedication, Daniel said in an email. Henniger and his wife Pam have two children, 5 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. His brother Ray also is a police officer working for the hospital district in Kermit. They are commissioned through the sheriff's office. He also worked at OPD. PSP applauds Texas Department of Transportation's commitment to region's infrastructure. The Permian Strategic Partnership applauds the Texas Department of Transportation's approval of the Unified Transportation Program, UTP, which serves as TxDOT's infrastructure plan for the next decade. Notably, the 2024 UTP allocates an impressive $4.3 billion to the Odessa District, providing an increase of nearly $1 billion in additional funding from last year's plan. TxDOT's endorsement of the UTP represents a major investment for the Permian Basin and our infrastructure, said Tracy Bentley, PSP President and CEO. The UTP will expand major roadways, including the I-20 corridor and US 285, helping reduce commercial and residential traffic, improving accessibility, and keeping our roads safe. Thank you to Governor Abbott, Chairman Bug, Executive Director Williams, and the entire Texas Transportation Commission for their leadership and commitment to the Permian Basin's future, and to everyone who submitted comments supporting this fantastic investment in our future. Each year, TxDOT releases the UTP Texas 10-Year Transportation Plan, which outlines infrastructure projects and spending across the state. Funded in part by oil and gas severance taxes from the Permian Basin, the UTP's additional funding for the Permian Basin is a return of those funds to the local economy, providing jobs, expanding infrastructure, and growing economic opportunity for the entire region. TxDOT's Odessa District, which oversees the construction and maintenance of Texas state highways in the Permian Basin, will administer the funds allocated by the UTP. Included in the UTP's $4.3 billion allotment for the region is $686 million in new funding for the I-20 corridor, $285 million in new funding for the U.S. 285 North Permian Promise Project, and investments in other energy sector roads across the Odessa District. Alzheimer's Association invites Permian Basin residents to join 2023 Walk to End Alzheimer's. The Alzheimer's Association is inviting Permian Basin residents to join the fight to end Alzheimer's by participating in the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's on Saturday, September 15th at Scarborough Sports Complex, 5514 Champions Drive in Midland. On Walk Day, participants honor those affected by Alzheimer's with the poignant Promise Garden Ceremony, a mission-focused experience that signifies our solidarity in the fight against the disease. The colors of the Promise Garden flowers represent people's connection to Alzheimer's, their personal reasons to end the disease. We are closer than ever to stopping Alzheimer's, said Mary Wright McCord, Walk Chair, in a press release. We hope that everyone in our community can join us to start a team to help the Alzheimer's Association raise awareness and funds for families facing the disease today, take more steps toward treatments, and finally end this disease. As the local presenting sponsor, Manor Park is committed to impacting the lives of individuals affected by Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, Stephen Nelson, President and CEO, The Village at Manor Park, said in the release. We take great pride in our involvement as the local presenting sponsor for the Permian Basin Walk to End Alzheimer's, driven by our firm belief in the transformative power of unity. Our mission is to work hand in hand with the community to pave the way for a brighter future for those facing the challenges of this condition. Together we strive to make a difference, fostering hope and supporting families on their journey with compassion and dedication. More than 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease, a leading cause of death in the United States. Additionally, more than 11 million family members and friends provide care for people living with Alzheimer's and other dementias. In Texas alone, there are more than 400,000 people living with the disease and over 1 million caregivers. To register and receive the latest updates on this year's Walk to End Alzheimer's, visit alz.org/walk. The Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's is the world's largest event to raise awareness and funds for Alzheimer's care, support, and research. Since 1989, the Alzheimer's Association mobilized millions of Americans in the Alzheimer's Association Memory Walk. Now the Alzheimer's Association is continuing to lead the way with Walk to End Alzheimer's. Together, we can end Alzheimer's. Landgraf, state to spend $4.3 billion on Permian Basin roads over next decade. The Texas Transportation Commission, led by Chairman Bruce Bug, voted unanimously Wednesday to approve the state's 2024 Unified Transportation Plan, UTP, which includes $4.3 billion in funding for transportation projects in the Texas Department of Transportation's TxDOT Odessa District over the next decade. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, longtime member of the House Transportation Committee, has appeared before the commission to advocate for additional state transportation funding for the Permian Basin numerous times since his election to the Texas House. "We continue to break funding records for our transportation infrastructure here in the Permian Basin," Landgraf said in a press release. The 2024 UTP funding amount of $4.3 billion breaks the record set by last year's UTP by more than $1 billion. That money is being tabbed for projects planned for the next 10 years, demonstrating a long-term commitment by the state. "When it comes to money actually spent to make our roads safer and get products to market faster, 2023 is the highest amount ever, with over $550 million expended on projects in the Odessa TxDOT District, surpassing the record $480 million that was spent in 2020. Every year, the Texas Transportation Commission updates and approves the Unified Transportation Program, UTP. The release said, "The UTP is TxDOT's 10-year plan that guides the development of transportation projects across the state. The 2024 UTP includes funding to continue the complete rebuild of I-20, make safety improvements to State Highway 191, widen U.S. 285, and build and improve intersections and overpasses at Loop 338, including the interchange of U.S. 385. "I am filled with gratitude and hope. Everyone who lives and works in the Permian Basin will join me in thanking Governor Abbott and Chairman Bug," Landgraf continued. "We are already seeing positive results in terms of reduced crashes on many of the roadways the state has worked on in the last few years. To know that these improvements are going to continue for another 10 years is an answer to prayer. Not possible without Governor Abbott and the Transportation Commissioners deciding to prioritize our region. To put it in perspective, only the five Metro TxDOT districts have more funding tabbed in the 2024 UTP than the Odessa District, meaning we have more projects planned over the next decade than the 10 other rural districts and the 9 urban districts. This is a big deal." Since 2015, transportation funding has increased by more than 700% for highways in the Odessa TxDOT District, going from $50 million per year in the 4 years before 2015 to $430 million per year over the last 4 years. This year, TxDOT has invested more than $500 million for projects in the Odessa TxDOT District, the largest amount ever. The Odessa TxDOT District, led by District Engineer Eric Likens, PE, plans, designs, builds, operates, and maintains the state transportation system in the counties of Andrews, Crane, Ector, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Ward, and Winkler. Feed your mind what you need to know about the popular new weight loss meds. The Laura W. Bush Institute for Women's Health in the Permian Basin has scheduled an event to discuss popular new weight loss meds with featured speaker Elisa Brown Pruitt from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesday, August 29th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Elisa Brown Pruitt, M.D., is an associate professor at the TTU HSC School of Medicine, Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, Director of Reproductive Endocrinology, and Regional Director of the Laura W. Bush Institute for Women's Health in the Permian Basin. She supervises OBGYN residents and oversees a federal grant aimed at lowering the extremely high rates of teen pregnancy and maternal mortality in the Permian Basin. Weight loss is definitely a hot topic. Learn the facts about the new diabetes and obesity drugs that seem to work really well. Are they good for short-term weight loss, or do you need to take them forever? Are they safe for children or pregnant women? What are potential side effects? Are there other alternatives to consider? Why are they so expensive? Ask the doctor. Tickets are $25 per person. Tables are available for $500. Visit tinyurl.com/3T7T8T3C. ISD warns of phone scam. A Twitter post from Andrews ISD is warning of a phone scam. We are aware of individuals in the public, general public receiving text messages claiming to be from school administration officials. Please ignore text messages that request payments or gift cards being sent to the individual the messages are from. If you continue to receive messages and also are receiving emails from someone claiming to be from Andrews ISD and they are requesting payments or other unusual behavior, please contact Andrews ISD immediately, the post said. Board approves agreements, officially hires principals. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees on Tuesday tackled several items from school safety to data sharing. Trustees voted 7-0 to approve an initial memorandum of understanding with the University of Texas Permian Basin and Region 18 Texas Strategic Staffing, allowing ECISD to participate in the use of teacher residents from 2023 to 2026. The project will establish sustainably paid year-long teacher residencies, the board recap stated. Voted 7-0 to renew the optional flexible school program, the OFSP is available for students at risk of dropping out and exists in ECISD in two forms. The Acceleration Academy, which enrolls 335 students this year, and 61% either graduated or are continuing, then in a smaller capacity at the Community Outreach Center, where 80 students were enrolled and 87% graduated or are continuing. Voted 7-0 to approve a data transfer and use agreement with Stanford University. A Stanford researcher is heading a project involving ECISD's use of high-impact virtual tutoring and its success in improving student achievement. Voted 7-0 to approve a resolution to declare good cause exception for House Bill 3, Armed Security Officer Requirement. The new law requires in by September 1st to have at least one armed commissioned peace officer at every campus during regular business hours of the school. To meet this requirement, ECISD would need an additional 30 police officers at an initial cost of $4.5 million and $2.1 million in recurring costs. State funding will provide $15,000 per campus and $0.28 per student through average daily attendance, ADA. About $684,000. District leaders say it will take time to not only find additional funding, but also find qualified personnel to meet this requirement, the recap stated. Voted 7-0 to approve the consent agenda. This month's consent agenda included minutes of meetings, bills of payment, acceptance of donations over $10,000, the annual investment report, amendments to the student code of conduct, annual interlocal agreements with communities in schools of the Permian Basin, a data sharing agreement with UTPB, a list of TTES and TPES appraisers, the TTES and TPES appraisal calendar, an initial memorandum of understanding with UTPB for a principal fellow master's program, an initial memorandum of understanding with Texas Tech University for a principal fellow master's program, and the 2023-24 professional learning plan. Report discussed items, strategic plan quarterly update. Trustees received an update on three data points: student attendance, MAP, measure of academic progress, growth. The college career and military readiness tracking of high school juniors. Following that, trustees learn more about the district's learning management systems, online platforms used by teachers to deliver instruction to students. The LMS offers interactive tools not available offline, and ECISD uses two, Schoolology and Seesaw. This is the fourth year to use and focus use on providing professional learning to help staff use it effectively to benefit students' learning. Professional learning communities, PLSs, are groups of educators who meet together regularly to grow professionally and enhance their effectiveness in improving student outcomes. PLCs strategically plan backward from the results they want to achieve, and then working backward to plan the steps to get there. Success is seen in dramatically improved school ratings. Finally, cultivating talent pipelines have been developed to a sustainable system of recruiting, developing, and retaining highly qualified educators. Specifically, this item outlined the growing teacher residency program, Future Teachers of Odessa for high school students, and principal fellow programs with Texas Tech and the University of Texas Permian Basin. Trustees move to close session to discuss hiring and purchase of property. No action was taken on the property. The board voted 7-0 to retroactively hire Megan Watts as the principal at Wilson & Young Medal of Honor Middle School. She was an assistant principal at Permian High School for 9 years and named ECISD's secondary assistant principal of the year in 2021. Prior to that, she was an assistant principal at Bonham Middle School. She is a graduate of Odessa High School. Voted 7-0 to retroactively hire Michael Skinner as a principal at Austin Montessori Elementary School. ECISD, end of course passing rates improve. Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray gave the Board of Trustees a quick look at recently released STAR end-of-course exams during their meeting Tuesday. Passing rates improved in all five of the exams. Algebra 1 increased 11 points to 70%. Biology increased 6 points to 83%. English 1 increased 13 points to 60%. English 2 increased 4 points to 59%, and U.S. History increased 9 points to 89%. ECISD Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said he is not certain when the district will release more full results. Statewide, the Texas Education Agency released results for the spring 2023 STAR 3 through 8 assessment. The results include assessments in mathematics and reading language arts, RLA, in grades 3 through 8, 5th and 8th grade science, and 8th grade social studies. A news release stated this year's results show reading language arts proficiency for students in grades 3 through 8 remained largely unchanged, continuing the level of academic recovery achieved in 2022 coming out of the pandemic. In math, the significant effects of the pandemic still linger, but this year's results present encouraging signs that the intensive supports offered by Texas public school systems are working. The release detailed, 5 of the 6 tested grade levels saw an increase in the percentage of students that met grade level, while results for the Texas 6th graders mirror 2022 results. Teachers across Texas continue to work with passion and skill to help students learn, Texas Education Commissioner Mike Morath said in the release. This year's results show the efforts of our educators to continue to deliver improved results for students. Emergent bilingual EB students showed progress in both mathematics and reading language arts. In math, 32% of EB students met grade level, while 35% met grade level in reading, both of which are at or above all-time high levels of the performance of the state. Texas public schools continue to serve one of the largest populations of EB students in the country, with 21% of Texas's nearly 5.5 million public school students classified as emergent bilingual. As part of the Emergent Bilingual Strategic Plan, ETEA, in conjunction with the partner agencies, is actively working to increase the number of bilingual certified teachers and dual language one-way and two-way programs to further support these students. Students receiving special education services continued a slow progress, with year-over-year increases in grade level proficiency in grades 3 through 8 math, 5th and 8th grade science, and 8th grade social studies, through the provision of more than $1.1 billion in additional annual special education funding over the past 7 years. Texas continues to invest to provide critical support for students receiving special education services. A more detailed statewide summary of 2023 STAR 3rd through 8th results is available at TEA's website. In addition to releasing results statewide, individual STAR report cards were also made available to parents across Texas today. Parents can visit texasassessment.gov to see the specific STAR results for their child, how their child answered each question on the test, and specific recommendations to help their child grow academically. Parents can access texasassessment.gov by clicking on a link within their district's parent portal or by using their child's unique access code given to them by the school to log directly into the website. We recommend parents log in and learn more about their child's STAR scores. Being fully informed about their child's academic progress can help them work with their child's teacher during the new school year, Morath said. In 2023, STAR assessments were redesigned to look more like how students learn in the classroom, with updates put in place by House Bill 3906, 86R in 2019, TEA engaged in a multi-year collaborative effort with a wide range of Texas teachers, educator advisory committees, students, parents, and community members to redesign the STAR. This year's STAR test incorporated items designed more like questions asked in class, emphasized writing, featured more questions that were not multiple choice items, and was administered online with exceptions made for students requiring paper accommodations. The redesigned required standard and scales to be reset, which was done by educator committees this summer. This year's scores are being issued later in the summer than is typical. In June 2023, TEA released STAR EOC assessment results, which showed progress and continued academic recovery following multiple years of pandemic-induced disruption. STAR aggregate level data by state, region, district, or campus are available to view and download on the Texas Assessment Analytical Portal. The ISD Fine Arts awarded state distinction. ECISD Fine Arts has once again been recognized as an art district of distinction. The award acknowledges the outstanding teaching that occurs daily in our fine arts classrooms, Executive Director of Fine Arts Erin Hawley said in a news release. For the 2023 award, over 1,200 districts were eligible to apply. Only 68 districts met the standard. A few of the criteria enabling ECISD to achieve this award are providing district art shows, having elementary, middle school, and high school students involved in art competitions, being involved in community service projects, maintaining an active social media presence, and collaborating with other subject areas and teachers. One example of this success came in May when 11 students from ECISD traveled to Austin to participate in the State Visual Arts Scholastic Event, VACE, competition. Four ECISD students received the highest rating of 4 and one received the highest award possible, Gold Seal winner. Fine arts not only provides our students with a well-rounded education, but also develops skills that promote success in their other classes, Hawley added. Thank you to our ECISD school board and the citizens of Ector County for strongly supporting our fine arts programs. Ector County ISD has set a high standard for visual arts advocacy, integrated visual arts curriculum, encouraged creativity, community participation, and student growth, said Sandra Newton, chair of the Visual Art Administrators of Texas, a division of TAEA. It's a true testament to your visual art educators' skill, dedication, and flexibility that the quality of their programs continue to provide strong and comprehensive visual art educational experiences to students. ECISD and the other winning districts will be honored at the TAEA Administration and Supervision Division meeting and general session during the TAEA Fall Conference General Assembly on Friday, November 17, 2023. TAEA is the leading advocate for the visual arts in the state. This is the fifth year that TAEA is honoring districts that meet rigorous criteria as evidenced from data. For the third year in a row, Ector County ISD is a Texas Art Education Association TAEA District of Distinction, an honor achieved by only the top 5.5% of school districts in Texas. Districts receive this honor for providing a well-rounded education that advocates and integrates visual arts curriculum to inspire creativity and build social, emotional learning that connect learners to their community and beyond. Midland man killed in two-vehicle wreck. A 22-year-old Midland man was killed early Tuesday morning in a two-vehicle wreck just east of Midland. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 35-year-old man from Houston failed to yield the right-of-way to David Contreras while making a right-hand turn into a private drive from northbound FM 1208 in a tractor trailer. Contreras struck the tractor trailer and was pronounced dead at the scene. The other driver was not hurt. Arrest made in February fatal crash. A 37-year-old Brownwood man was arrested Tuesday on a warrant issued in March following an alcohol-related crash that killed a 23-year-old man. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, Primavito Aaron Guerrero was traveling south in the northbound lanes of U.S. Highway 385 in a Chevrolet Silverado when he struck Juan Rodriguez's Chevy Silverado head-on around 11:50 p.m. February 19th. Rodriguez was killed and his passenger, a 21-year-old man, sustained severe injuries and was taken to Medical Center Hospital. Guerrero slurred his words, had red, bloodshot eyes, and performed poorly on field sobriety tests, the report stated. He told troopers the other driver jumped the median, but the crash took place in a section of the highway where a grassy median and a cable barrier separate the north and southbound lanes. He too was taken to MCH, where he was treated for his injuries and his blood was drawn. According to the report, the results of Guerrero's blood tests came back March 26th and showed he had a blood alcohol level of 0.241. A warrant was obtained for Guerrero for intoxication manslaughter and intoxication assault. He remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday night on surety bonds totaling $40,000. ECISD trustees unanimously vote to call for November bond election. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees unanimously voted on Tuesday to place three school bond propositions on the ballot for November 7th. The total price of the three propositions is $436,109,000 and will not require an increase in the district's total tax rate, a news release detailed. The items included in each of the propositions came as recommendations from the 2023 Bond Committee that worked from January to May developing this list. The committee studied reports ranging from demographic studies to school finance to facilities assessments to construction cost trends and more before reaching a consensus on the items to present to the school board. The three bond packages that will be presented to voters are Proposition A, $424,263,000, New Career and Technical Education Center to be located in South Odessa, Ector County, New Middle School to be located in West Ector County, District-wide maintenance and repairs, Transportation Department, bus purchases, and a new transportation facility. Technology Department, replacement of district phone system, PA, bell, clock, fire, alarm system replacements, security camera refresh, classroom interactive flat panels, large group instruction area, audiovisual equipment, Fine Arts Department. Complete renovation of the Permian High School auditorium. Replace outdated instruments. Performance risers for all middle school choirs. Classroom instruments for elementary campuses. Uniforms for middle school bands and mariachi. JROTC facility needs. Transition Learning Center. Complete replacement of facility for students with special needs learning to transition from school to the workforce. Agriculture farm, complete replacement of classroom buildings and barns. Athletics, LED lighting at the Odessa High School baseball and tennis stadiums. LED lighting at the Permian High School baseball stadium. Resurfacing of tennis stadiums at all middle schools. Replacement of indoor bleachers in main gyms of all middle schools, land purchase for new CTE center and new middle schools. Proposition B, $8,096,000. Ratliff Stadium concrete overlay of bleachers, update restrooms, LED lighting for stadium parking lot, LED lighting at track field venue, air conditioning, heating for south building locker rooms, replace one grass field with artificial turf, also includes any major maintenance needs at the stadium complex identified in facilities assessment report. Proposition C, $3,750,000. New indoor practice facility for Odessa High School. New artificial turf for existing indoor practice facility at Permian High School. According to the law, these indoor practice facilities must be separate bond proposals for voters to consider. Next steps for the school district include meeting with community members to inform Ector County residents about the three proposals and answer any questions they may have. We will be very active in getting information to our community, said Superintendent Scott Murray. The last bond election held in May 2022 saw very low voter turnout, less than 10% of Ector County voters. We want to see a much larger turnout this fall. Tax rate impact. Since 2020, ECISD has made early payments of about $37.3 million of existing bonds and prepayments and refinancing, saving taxpayers $26.9 million in future interest payments. Based upon the district's existing tax base, the district will not need to increase the total tax rate of $1.17792 to pay for the $436,109,000 of bond projects. Voting schedule. Early voting will be held October 23rd through 27th, and October 30th through November 3rd. Election day is November 7th. For more information, it can be found at ectorcountyisd.org/bond2023. More information can be found at ectorcountyisd.org/bond2023. Questions may be asked via the Ector County ISD Facebook page or by email at communicationsdepartment@ectorcountyisd.org.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.